The Epiphany is really one of the greatest feast days in the church year, even though it does not get celebrated as such in this country. It is the feast day in which we remember that our Lord came not only to save the Jews and be the Messiah of the Jews, but also us who would be considered the Gentiles, and that salvation is open to every man who will take up his cross and follow our Lord. And sacred tradition tells us that three different times on this day, January 6th, our Lord manifested himself as the Messiah. First, of course, the coming of the three kings, which we remember on the Epiphany. But also, sacred tradition tells us that the wedding feast of Cana and also our Lord's baptism in the Jordan, in which the crowd heard those words, "Behold my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," that all three of these events took place on January 6th. And that's what makes today such a special day. And so, with it being such a great feast day, I wish you all a very happy Feast of the Epiphany. Now, the epistle for the Epiphany is taken from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 60. "Arise and be enlightened, O Jerusalem, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and a mist the peoples. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall walk in thy light, and the kings in the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thy eyes round about and see, all these are gathered together. They are come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall rise up at thy side. Then shalt thou see and abound, and thy heart shall wonder and be enlarged. When the multitude of the seas shall be converted to thee, the strength of the Gentiles shall come to thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Madian and Ephah. All they from Saba shall come, bringing gold and frankincense, and showing forth praise to the Lord." And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2. "When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of King Herod, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born, the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to adore him.' And King Herod, hearing this, was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where Christ should be born. But they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judah, for it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come forth the leader that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, privately calling the wise men, learned diligently of them the time of the star which appeared to them. And sending them into Bethlehem, he said, 'Go and diligently inquire after the child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, so that I may also come and adore him.' Who, having heard the king, went their way, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, until it came and stood over where the child was. And seeing the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And entering into the house, they found the child with Mary his mother, and falling down, they adored him. And opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having received an answer in sleep that they should not return to Herod, they went back another way into their own country." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and a mist the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, one of the greatest church fathers, that is, one of the greatest theologians of the earliest days of the church, was St. John Chrysostom. In fact, there are four great church fathers of the East and four great church fathers of the West. And St. John Chrysostom is one of those four from the East. And on the Epiphany, he one year spoke to his people about the consistency and the faith of St. Joseph. And he wanted them to learn on that feast just what a great saint Saint Joseph was, and to learn about his faith. And so I thought that I would share some of what he taught his people with you today. Considering the life of Saint Joseph at the time of the coming of the Magi, Saint John encouraged his people to have the same strong, confident, constant faith in God that Saint Joseph showed throughout the entire Christmas season. Saint John clearly showed that the faith of Saint Joseph was the reason for his great calm and perseverance through many different events that happened in short succession on that first Christmas season. Saint Joseph certainly needed to have a strong faith at this time. For if we consider what he endured at this time, we can see that he not only had great fears and doubts, but he also had great consolations and encouragements. And in order to stay even keel throughout all this, he had to have a great faith in God that all would be well and all would turn out to God's will. In the first place, the first great trial we could say that Saint Joseph went through at this time was when Our Lady returned after the birth of Saint John the Baptist and was found to be with child. Saint Joseph was greatly troubled at this and was in a state of great anxiety. But immediately an angel stood before him and cleared Saint Joseph's mind of any suspicion or fear, and told him that the child that Our Lady bore was indeed the Son of God himself. Well, after that trial, then came a great joy, the joy of that child's birth on Christmas night, in which Saint Joseph beheld the Christ child, the Messiah, with the greatest joy and love. This happiness, though, was soon followed by the entire city being thrown into peril and terror, as Herod unleashed his rage and his anger against all the male children of the city. This terror came at the same time that Saint Joseph and Our Lady were enjoying the company and the consolation of the Magi, the three kings who had brought their gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Bethlehem to show that our Lord was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and yet that he was also the suffering Savior that had been foretold by Isaiah. So we see then that throughout the whole Christmas season, the life of Saint Joseph followed a pattern of great joys and great sorrows. And Saint John Chrysostom, that church father who I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, he actually says that for all who love God, their lives will be just like this. You see, God constantly mingles joy with labor in our lives. When he sees that a soul is devoted to him, when he sees that a soul is trying to know, love, and serve him, God will not leave that soul in continual tribulation, but nor will he give it a life of continuous peace. For in his wisdom, God sees that it is best for us if he mixes the good with the bad, so to speak. The trials and the adversities that come into our life, these are opportunities given to us to try to help us merit the eternal happiness of heaven. But knowing our weakness, God knows that if these trials continued for any great length of time, we would be overtaxed by them, and we would be tempted to give up the fight. So in his mercy, he mixes in for us joys and happiness, and these are meant to inspire us to continue to persevere. In our lives, then, we can expect the good with the bad. But the key to enduring all of life's experiences and to not be discouraged with the bad, nor to be elated or proud with the good, is that we keep a true, constant, humble faith in God. Saint Joseph was able to persevere throughout all the Christmas season, doing what he was called upon to do, helping our Blessed Lady and providing for our Lord, because he had a firm trust in God, and he knew that God's will would be done in all things, and that God would see that the best would come from whatever happened. Saint Joseph had been given some great prerogatives during that time. He had been told that he was the spouse of the Mother of God and the foster father of God himself. Now, if he had been just a man of ordinary faith, these things would have been too great for him to imagine. If he had been a man of ordinary virtue, pride would have gotten itself in there and been too strong for his humility. But Saint Joseph was not a man of ordinary virtue. He possessed the greatest and the highest virtue, and all of this was based on his great faith in God. He knew that God could do all things, and so therefore, whether he was being told to go into Egypt with no plans or no preparations, or whether he was being told that he was now the foster father of God himself, Saint Joseph put all of his trust and faith in God and continued to do what was called upon him at that time. And so, during this Christmas season, and especially on this Feast of the Epiphany, let us ask Saint Joseph, let us pray to him that he can gain for us some of that faith in God, some of that strong faith which will help us to know, love, and serve God through thick and thin. And this, my dear friends, will be a great treasure for ourselves and for our souls. You know, one day the great Saint Bonaventure, the learned Franciscan, was told by one of his monks that he was the envy of the monastery, that he had such great learning and knowledge that everyone expected that he would have a very high place in heaven. Well, Saint Bonaventure replied that if there was an old woman in the parish who knew how to love and serve God better than he, and he said no doubt that there were, he said that woman would be more learned and more holy than I am. By this he was saying that it's better for us to love God and to trust in him than even to know all the truths of theology. And we know this even from the life of Saint Joseph himself. Saint Joseph did not know many of the truths of theology. He was not a learned theologian. But he had that great faith that God could do all things. And this is what kept him on the straight path to heaven. This is what kept him able to do God's will, knowing never to falter because God would see all clear to the end. And many times in our lives then, when we come across things that may obscure our path to heaven, whether it be the passions or whether it be some trials, some errors that have maybe crept into our lives, we can stand strong against all of such attacks as long as we have a great faith and we believe in God and we love him above all things. And to have this faith, as I said, first and foremost, pray to Saint Joseph, who was such a model of faith for us. But Saint Alphonsus also tells us that there are means to acquiring a great faith. Saint Alphonsus wrote that during the days of our life, let us endeavor to live like wise men, not according to the world, but according to God. Attend to the sanctification of our souls and adopt the means of salvation, he said. And then he listed for the people what the means of salvation are, what the means are whereby we may gain a great faith. He said, fly dangerous occasions, practice prayer, frequent the sacraments, and then he added, read every day from a spiritual book. In other words, if we are going to have a strong faith, we must do three things chiefly. First, we must keep ourselves clear from dangerous and proximate occasions to mortal sin. Second, we must pray every day and remind ourselves how much we depend on God. This begins with our morning offering, an Our Father and three Hail Marys as soon as we awake. It continues throughout the day with our Holy Rosary, and it ends with three Hail Marys said just before turning in. And the third means to growing in faith and staying on the path to heaven is making sincere confessions with a firm purpose of amendment, being firmly resolved to change our lives if there is anything in them that stands in God's path, and then receiving Holy Communion with attention and devotion. If we follow these three simple means, then as St. Alphonsus promises, we shall be truly wise, and we shall be happy for time and eternity. And the reason why I quote St. Alphonsus when it comes to something so special and so particular for helping us is because St. Alphonsus actually has a rank in the church which is not shared by any other theologian. I may have mentioned this to you in the past, but the church actually says that if St. Alphonsus teaches something in the line of moral theology, then you can absolutely believe it without any doubt or without any fear of falling into error. You see, St. Alphonsus had been a lawyer before he became a priest and a bishop. And in his writings as a priest and a bishop, he was so careful and so thorough to make sure he did all the research he could before he put anything to paper, that the church says and knows from experience that everything he wrote could be what you might call the gospel truth. And so if St. Alphonsus tells us to follow these three methods to build our faith, we can have the greatest confidence that those three methods are just what we need. So then avoid the occasions of sin, pray to God each day, and receive the sacraments worthily. And that way you will gain the grace of faith which helped St. Joseph so much during that first Christmas season. And regardless of the happiness or sadness of this life, you will one day experience the eternal joys forever in heaven. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.